The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. On Friday, I had the opportunity to attend two different and unrelated events that were strangely related in content. First, I attended this year's Metro New York Synod special meeting that was held in place of the Synod Assembly. And then afterwards, I attended the Academic Affairs Committee meeting of the Marist Board of Trustees. I was struck by some similarities between the challenges brought on by COVID for companies where members of the Board of Trustees worked, for the colleges as well as for my college as well as higher education as a whole, and for the church. There were two common overarching themes being discussed. One was dealing with change that has been accelerated due to COVID. And the second was how to foster an atmosphere of belonging. While those might seem like two very different topics, they ended up being quite closely related. In thinking about change, I wanted to share words from our Synod Bishop, words that are especially relevant in this Easter season. In his report to those attending the meeting, he used a verse from the 12th chapter of John's Gospel that reads, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Bishop Eggensteiner reminded us that this verse points to the reality that death is inevitable. But what is also inevitable is that out of death comes new life. He shared experiences of visiting congregations and hearing stories of the good old days where the pews were full and the Sunday school was overflowing with children. And he alluded to a corresponding disappointment that the current reality is so very different. In describing the situation further, he said, "Characteristics of church that we took for granted are dying or have already died, and we don't know yet what will grow from the buried grain of our hope and what will emerge from the tomb. What we do know is that transformation comes from loss, and that is certainly one of the messages that comes from the crucifixion and the resurrection." End quote. Last week, I talked about Jesus calling his disciples while he was still living and then coming back to call them again after his resurrection. They started out as followers of the man Jesus. And then in response to the resurrection, they become the presence of Christ in the world. I also said that we too are called to do the same. The bishop had in his report a similar message. Our core purpose as a church is to live like Christ in our communities. And he also added that if we lose sight of that, if we lose sight of that core purpose, then we are no longer Christ's church. His ideas and words about death and change and letting go of trying to get back to the good old days may be difficult to take in, especially since it is in our nature to want life to stay the same or go back to some time that we remember fondly. And this is especially true when our life is comfortable and when memories are generally sweet. But I also believe that these are ideas and words that people here at First started to grapple with long before I ever walked into the doors a few short years ago. And the reality is that there is still more grappling to be done with them. As I mentioned when I started out this sermon, in the meetings that I attended Friday, it became clear that challenges we are working through in the church are being felt elsewhere. I think about the question that so many started asking more seriously in the last 2 years. Is the sacrifice of my own physical or mental health, the sacrifice of my family relationships, is my time spent working long hours at some company or college worth it? And then there is the parallel question. Do I want to spend my time on a Sunday morning sitting in a church? Do I want to spend my time during the week serving the church in some way? Or do I want to spend my time and energy doing something else? And these connections connect to the second similarity that I heard in my meetings, the discussion of how we make sure our culture is one where we foster a sense of belonging. And in the case of the church, it goes a step further. How do we go out and share with our neighbors the message that they already belong to the family of God? These two subjects are connected by the fact that people who feel like they belong will stick around. But even more, when we feel like we belong to something, when we are part of a community, part of a church, we can much better handle change that comes, even really scary change. Marist College, all colleges, and all of the different industries across the nation will have to decide for themselves, based on their own mission and values, how they foster belonging. But in a church that claims itself as a follower of Christ, we need to ground our efforts in the Word of God, in that core purpose of living like Christ in our communities. That core purpose of tending Christ's sheep, the command that Jesus gave to Peter 3 times in last week's gospel lesson. And the talk of sheep during this Easter season did not end last week. In fact, today is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And like every week in this season of Easter, we hear more from the Gospel of John. John is reminding all of us who read and hear his gospel that we belong to Christ. In those verses we heard from John this morning, in those verses we read together in Psalm 23, we are comforted with the words that no one will be able to snatch us out of God's hand, and that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But we are also confronted with Jesus' words to those who questioned him, the accusations that they are not his sheep because they are not listening to him. The reality is that there are many voices calling out for our attention. Just as the different political and religious structures of Jesus' time had agendas, we also face the agendas of those who are trying to shape this world right now. And it's not just political or religious. Think about those voices we hear in all forms of the media, telling us what we should or should not do or believe. Those voices that say what we should or should not look like, or how we should or should not spend our time and money. So then how do we hear the voice of the true shepherd through all of the rest of those voices? I don't really have a great answer except to declare that any voice that says something to the effect of, you belong if, fill in the blank, right? If you believe in the right doctrine, if you identify with the gender you were born into, if you worship in a specific way, if you are in a heterosexual marriage, if you have enough money or power, if. Those ifs are not God's ifs. Belonging to God does not depend on us or anything we might do. It depends only on God and what God has done through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Faith tells me that the voice of the shepherd is the one that says, you are my beloved child. You belong to me. I call you by name. And isn't that something that we want to make sure that everyone knows? In the end, this is what I believe Bishop Eggensteiner was getting at in part of his report to the Synod. How do we make sure that we don't get trapped in the nostalgia of what used to be, and in doing so, miss the opportunities of what lies ahead? How do we recognize and even allow the death of certain things, and then bury them with our grain of hope in the fertile soil of God's love, so that our ministry can be resurrected into something more life-filled and life-giving than what we were trying to hold on to? It's not easy. But we are people of the resurrection, and therein lies our hope. So hear Christ's promise again. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them life, and they will never perish. Hold that promise in your heart, and trust that God will find a way for us to be able to share it with others. Amen.